the MoneyWeb Crypto Podcast, where we discuss all things crypto-related. Your host, Kieran Ryan.
The Bitcoin Fear and Greed Index has plunged into extreme fear. Just a few months ago, it was in greed. What a difference a few months can make. Now, those who follow the index know that extreme fear is usually a good time to buy. In fact, we're starting to see some whales nibbling at these low prices. So there are a few indicators to suggest market sell-off may be reaching bottom. And yet gold has broken above $5,000 an ounce. Now, there's a clear rupture between the Bitcoin and the gold price, and I want to explore why that is. And joining me to unpack this is Christo De Wit, country manager for Luno in South Africa. Hello, Christo. Thanks again for your time. Good to talk to you again. Hey, let's talk about this fear and greed index. What is it? What does it mean? Maybe for people who don't come across it, it's quite a useful tool, though. And why is it in extreme fear right now?
The crypto greed and fear index is, as soon as you get more involved into cryptocurrency, this is kind of an index that you use to measure sentiment. It measures market volatility. It looks at, you know, what's the chatter on social media. It also look at market movement and the overall dominance of certain cryptocurrencies. And it's generally used as a gauge to review the current appetite or the climate also, or almost in the market. And as you rightfully mentioned, we are now in extreme fear mode. I think it is, the last time I checked, it's in the ranges between 7 and 11 out of 100. I think today it's around 8 or 9. And that signals to us that the market, the overall crypto market, is really in a retraction. There's been a significant downturn from the highs that we saw in 2025. And I think it's an indication also of the overall market sentiment. But it's not all doom and gloom. I think, as you also pointed out, usually in these crypto cycles, when there's extreme fear and we see a downturn in the market, that's usually when those crypto whales start accumulating more, because we see almost a drawback or a reset of the price.
Yeah, and we've started to see some of that, the whales, the big investors, the institutions starting to come back in again. Obviously, you know, the price is down more than 50% from its peak. So there's got to be, certainly the risk of buying at this price is lower than it was a few months ago. Now, whenever there's been a drop in crypto prices in the past, the exchanges like Luno, they tend to reflect this in lower volumes. Is this what you're seeing at the moment? Have you, to some extent, overcome that cycle, that, you know, the crypto cycle, because there's a lot of stablecoin activity these days?
I think, you know, there's quite a few nuances there that we can unpack. I think the first thing is, if we look at seasonality, right, we're coming out of December, which usually, especially in the South African crypto market, is usually a downturn. We know that most of South Africa goes on leave. We see less pro crypto activity, and even the retail market tends to tone down a little bit. So there's already that downturn over the December period. That is usually followed by a little bit of an uptick in January, where we see increased volume, people getting back in action. And that also is dependent on what's going on in the global economy. What is interesting, you know, we had December where the crypto fear and greed index, as we spoke previously, was still on the greed in the green indicator. And we saw that plummet from extreme greed to extreme fear in a matter of weeks. What we've seen on Luno is not necessarily a downturn in volume compared to what we saw in December. But I think that's also because we see a lot of selling pressure. So you have a lot of investors and buyers who look at the crypto market and where it's currently at, and looking at, you know, when they entered the market, are they now going to take their profits, or are they also facing some selling pressure? I think there's a saying that when we see a market downturn like this, and we see that the fear and greed index is dropping, you know, that's when the weak hands tend to sell off their crypto, and those whales, the stronger investors, start accumulating. So this is nothing different. We're not seeing anything different in this cycle. We haven't seen a significant downturn in the volume just yet. But as we also saw in previous crypto cycles, you know, there's the saying that crypto moves in these four-year cycles, you know, going from, you know, the highs of the bull market to the lows of the bear market. What we can or could perhaps expect over the coming months is perhaps a lot of sideways action, perhaps some muted volume or trading volume on the exchanges, not only on Luno, but globally. And that's all dependent on what's happening in the market. Another interesting point that I think we can look at is in previous market downturns where we saw the fear index go to extreme fear was when the crypto price, or if we look at as a proxy for the crypto price, the Bitcoin price, went from its peak to its base. We usually look at around drops of between 75 to 80%. We're currently now in a downturn of around 50%. So there is speculation that potentially, Bitcoin could drop further. But, none of us have a crystal ball. We don't necessarily know what markets are going to do. I think another point that is very interesting that if we compare this cycle to some of the previous cycles is, all of the downturns that we saw in the previous cycle were internal indicators, meaning it was crypto industry specific instances that led to the downturn of the market. I think the previous biggest downturn, if I think you will remember very well, was in 2022 with the collapse of XDX, when all the crypto market as a whole was in complete shock. This time around, we are not seeing a crypto-specific event driving this. This is more macro-related. And interesting is that we see this decoupling from other asset classes, and that crypto is now more behaving like tech stocks and other riskier assets. So there's also a very interesting change in pace that we're seeing as we observe the market at the moment.
Yeah, and in fact, some studies have been done by people who've looked at this fear and greed index as a tool to time entries and exit. There's some people who say you never sell your Bitcoin, but other people, look at the fairly long cycle and they do sell in extreme greed and they do buy in extreme fear. And it has been shown that you can vastly improve your returns by doing that. So we can be sure that a lot of people are looking at this. And I wanted to just change direction here a little bit. I couldn't help but notice the banks now starting to creep in, sometimes slowly, sometimes fast, into the crypto space. I mean, Absa's testing its own stable coin. Luno's tied up with Discovery Bank. Now Discovery customers can purchase crypto on their apps. And this, of course, is something I'm pretty sure we're going to see a lot of happening this year. Is this what you're sensing, that a lot of the banks moving into the space and going to facilitate crypto purchases for their customers?
I think so. I think ultimately it is inevitable. I think what we saw over the last 2 years specifically is this move from institutional capital and institutions more moving towards this space where, the crypto industry was always kind of on the fringe of the broader financial markets. And we've seen that the crypto market or the crypto industry now has a seat at the table at the traditional financial space. And those signals are, being met with the banks coming to play. I think very importantly, as you mentioned, our partnership with Discovery Bank enabling, Discovery Bank's more than 1.2 million customers to easily access and buy cryptocurrency right through their banking app. That's one. Absa's stablecoin announcement is a very important move in that direction as well. I think recently, our announcement with our partnership with Sunlum, Easy Equities and the Saka in launching the Zaru stablecoin as well, is that notion that cryptocurrency is moving more towards this institutional space. I think it's a double-sided, knife there, because if we look at another reason of the significant downturn that we are witnessing is because of all the institutional capital that has flown into the crypto market with all that significant institutional liquidity from the ETFs. Whenever there's pressure or risk in the crypto market, we see now a large selling off of this liquidity, people exiting or the institutions exiting, and that impacting the crypto market as well. So also contributing towards this downturn. But I think more importantly, if you look at where cryptocurrency is going and what the future holds, is that this initial shock with this downturn in the market is just a mere ripple, right? And I think that the banks are not necessarily too spooked about it as they are continuing on their crypto projects. And we are seeing that convergence of the crypto industry and the traditional finance sector.
Yeah, I think all of the banks have got digital asset teams. That's what they call them. They don't call them crypto. Sometimes they'll call them the blockchain team. But I think they see this as a technology which can be integrated into their existing suite of services, particularly for cross-border payments and things like that. Now, let's talk about what's going to happen in 2026. So you mentioned earlier you think the crypto market could be very sort of in a lull for the next few months, not much going to happen. There'll be a lot of apathy creeping in. And then, as we've seen in the past, all of a sudden it explodes. By September this year, we'll be 18 months away from the next Bitcoin halving event, which is the last time around certainly was the trigger for the bull run that followed. So that's the one side of it. And I think the other side of it from a Luno point of view is tell us a little bit about what you've got an ability now for your customers to buy stocks. You can buy Tesla, you know, iStocks, X-Stocks. Tell us what other products you see coming.
I think, I mean, you raised a few interesting points. I think before I touch on what lies ahead in this year, whatever the market is going to do, what is interesting, especially around the four-year cycle notion, you know, there's a lot of contrarian views on it that, you know, is crypto still operating in this four-year cycle? You know, we looked at, you know, the previous Bitcoin halving, you know, round about the pandemic 2020, 2021. And was that really the Bitcoin halving that drove the prices up, or was it the stimulus that was released because of the pandemic? And I think this year we could potentially see a similar event happening. You know, there's talks around the refinancing of the US debt. If that happens, there will be a sudden influx of liquidity, because at the moment, globally, we are facing a liquidity crisis, which obviously we are faced in the equities market as well as crypto, which is causing this downturn. But be it as it may, whatever happens with the price, you know, at Luno, we still keep building. We're still building out our product. We're building out our platform to make it the best-in-class product, not only a crypto investment platform, but also now, you know, digital assets as a whole, and make it a well-rounded investment platform of choice for investors in South Africa. That means that whenever new X-Stocks become available, we will launch them on the platform. We're continuously building out our digital asset listings. We will be adding new cryptocurrencies to the platform every quarter and on an ongoing basis. And there's some exciting stuff happening in terms of our product suite that we're building out, in terms of the bundles that we have on product. And then also in terms of the hardware, you know, we're working really hard this year to look at how our platform is performing. Is it ideal and fit for purpose for professional traders? Are we able to improve that to make it even a better platform and a better experience? So those are all exciting products that we're launching. We're looking at, you know, some yield products that could potentially see the light of day. So 2026, regardless of what happens in the market at Luno, we'll continue to build, we'll continue to launch products that, you know, will serve our customers in a way that makes Luno this well-rounded investment platform that we've built out over the last few years.
Yeah, just quickly before we wrap up, I'm curious to know, how many customers do you have worldwide? The last I heard was 12 million. Is that gone up?
Yeah, no, we're around between 15 and 16 million globally at the moment, around 6 million in South Africa. So we always say that, you know, if in South Africa, if you've touched Bitcoin or crypto at one point or another, you've done so through Luno. So we definitely, you know, we've captured that retail market. And I think these institutional partnerships that we're launching is just further broadening that access and giving people access to, you know, the future of the financial system.
Right. And I'm also curious to find out, since the launch of the partnership with Discovery Bank and the ability to purchase crypto via their app, have you seen much activity from that side?
No, we have. I think we're seeing a solid growth on that front. We see a lot of people are linking their accounts through their Discovery Bank platform. We're actually seeing a huge reactivation of customers that have come back to the platform because of the ease of use with Discovery. And we're seeing a lot of movement on that side. And I think that's the important thing to note, is the ease of use and the ease of access. And that's what bringing this institutional partnerships to light is all about.
And final question, Christo, is about the yield products, which you mentioned there just a minute ago. Are you offering yield on some of your crypto stable coins, for example?
Yeah, we have, well, so on the USDC product, we have a yield product there at the moment. So if you're holding USDC, it's very easy to move it over into the USDC yield, and there you can earn a return on that. So yield is also something that I think has a lot of potential going forward. And we listen to our customers. You know, there's a strong demand for it. But always, as with everything at Luno, we take our due diligence very seriously, making sure that we launch products that are safe and secure and fit for purpose for our customer base.
We're going to leave it there. Thanks very much for joining us. That was Christo De Wit, Country Manager for Luno in South Africa. Thank you so much, Christo.
Thanks, Darren. Great to be back.
Thanks for listening to the MoneyWeb Crypto Podcast, hosted by Kieran Ryan. To listen to our other podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the MoneyWeb app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.